Welcome back to the Go-To Food Podcast, brought to you by Deli. Deli is a food platform from the team behind Depop that sells the best independent food and drinks products that other shops don't really know about. If you want to get a hold of their incredible, amazing products, then please go to deli.market and discover the thousands of creator products dropping daily and use the code GO2DELI for 25% off everything from us. And today we're bringing...
Sorry, how many L's in that?
Oh, sorry, two L's. I should have said. Today we're delighted to be joined by our best-selling author, Melissa Hemsey, to celebrate her incredible career, books, inventions, and her latest offering for everyone, which is Real Healthy Unprocess Your Diet with Easy Everyday Recipes. I just call it Real Healthy.
Did you say inventions?
Yeah.
We'll get there. I haven't invented a bean.
Guess what I'm having for supper tonight, and I'm not even joking.
Is it?
One pot lazy lasagna.
No, you're not.
I am.
I don't believe you.
I am. I'm going round.
Why aren't you going out?
Huh? I should be going out.
Very good.
But I am making
it. It's a Friday afternoon and we're having a drink.
Yeah. I know.
You want to go back home and put your oven on?
I've already started making it.
To your mum's house. Yeah. No, right, you're going.
No, I've already started making it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing. Lovely.
Anyway.
Is your mum happy that you're coming over?
Well, we're all flying out tomorrow, about 10 of us, to go out to Croatia, leaving at 4 in the morning.
That's what you're doing.
So we're all going to go around and stay the
night. Fueled up on the lasagna.
And I was showing her the book. She's like, fuck me, this is, you know, right on my street. Not only
love
do I hate...
Are you celebrating something?
No, we're just going out on holiday. It's a nice touch.
That's
anyway,
what we want our children to want to
come on
holiday
with
us.
When we're
talking about family, last week Oasis, you know, the brothers Liam and Noel put their differences aside and said, "Let's bring back."
Is this confirmed now?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
let's bring back the greatest band or one of the greatest bands in the 90s, British, you know, Britpop.
How much money are we talking?
So much money, it's ridiculous. But I'm bringing it up because we used to see you as a Hemsley and Hemsley.
Oh my God, are you trying to link?
Is there beef with Jasmine? And are we going to see you guys one day reform?
Would you like to reform and do a £300 ticket ahead?
Yeah.
I like how you woven current news into that. That was really well done.
That was exhausting last night. Thank you about it.
No,
you don't want to reform? Or
I want to reform and no, there's no beef.
Yeah, yeah.
Apart from in your one pot lazy lasagna.
Yeah, true.
Page 180 of Real Healthy.
Oh, really?
I'm joking. I don't know the page number, but I wish
Hemsey
I did.
Hemsey, great name. Obviously, you guys had amazing success. Being serious for a second, did you guys just go like, should we just break off for a bit, do our own thing?
Yeah.
Or was it just chill?
Are you joking when you just said Hemsey and Hemsey's a great name?
No, I think it is actually a great name.
Come on.
You're not.
At first,
we spent, amount of brainstorming and mood boarding we tried, and then we went, let's just go with our name.
It sounds legit.
But
it's unbelievable.
It's a bit silly because it's really long, and people often say, which is fine actually, this is not a problem, they often say Helmsley, which is a place in Yorkshire,
right?
And it
that's annoying.
And when you just said double L, you just reminded me, whenever I spell my name I have to say double S one L, which is the first name, my Christian name, nothing to do with Hemsley. But thank you for liking my surname. I don't know yours. What's yours?
Mine's Claude. Not quite as good. You can do Claude and Claude. Hemsey and Hemsey sounds like a legit sort of...
Claude and Claude's like a sort of Victorian undertaker or something.
Yeah, whereas Hemsey and Hemsey is like a Victorian department store.
But hang on, Claude and Claude, do people always go Claude?
They think you're French.
Freddie Claude.
Horrible things, yeah.
Yeah, Frederick.
And anyway, your surname is?
Benton.
What?
Oh, it's okay.
So you say your full name?
Ben Benton.
Are you pulling my leg?
No.
Amazing!
It's not, I mean, it's...
Well,
I was also the first child for my parents.
Son of Ben.
They could
Ben.
Have. There was, millions of names.
They were just panicking.
Benton and Benton.
They panicked. It's just a silly name.
United Colours of Benton.
Let's
Sorry.
Talk about your new cookbook, Real Healthy. Because it is banging.
Oh, thank you. That's really kind of
you. I should have brought it with
you.
Me, but I've been cooking with it, as you know.
Your mum's got it.
My mum's now stolen it. That's what happens to most of them. Talk us through it, though, because obviously, USP-wise, or not USP-wise, because actually, you must get quite frustrated, everyone going like, oh, it's anti-ultra-processed foods. But actually, there's still quite a lot of naughtiness in there, but it's just cleaning it up a bit. Am I right?
Sounds like
I've just
right,
remembered Freddie. The camera's on my ham arm.
It's not. That's what made it.
Straight at number two.
What was the question? Something about, it's just cleaning up some naughties.
Ultra-processed foods, 57% of our daily calories, right?
Yeah.
In this country.
Rising.
More than any other country in Europe. But the truth is, you're not going to buy this book and have like boring dishes. They are still banging meat, everything, bit of pasta. Like, it's not like a boring book. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But we're terrified about ultra-processed foods, is it?
Your mum will... Can we have like a little cameo from your mum when you edit this in?
Yeah,
tonight,
yeah,
with her
I'll
review.
Say, what do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
We'll
get your mum. Yeah. Hello, Mrs. Claude.
Claude. Yeah.
Claude.
Hello, Mrs. Claude. Enjoy Croatia and hope that lazy lasagna does you good. Exactly. The ultra-processed statistics are really horrifying. And I think, Sorry, I keep looking at you, Ben, because we just established that we've both got one and a bit year olds. Mm-hmm. It's really terrifying because you said 56, 57%. The number's rising. In under 14s, it's closer to 70%.
Of their diet.
Of their diet. It's UPF heavy. And the Food Foundation have, you know, had a call to arms, and they're seriously worried that little children aren't going to be able to form any kind of healthy eating habits as they get older, and they won't be able to tolerate the taste of even the sweeter of the vegetables.
Really?
So while when we were growing up, we might not have loved a sprout necessarily or a brassica family member, we at least could have tolerated carrots and sweet potatoes and squash.
Sweet.
But now they're worried that kids can't even tolerate them. So that's one thing. And then as I was thinking about what my next book could be, I always think, as you know, because you've had a lot of cookbook authors on your esteemed podcast, I didn't want to just bring out another one for the sake of it, because what would be the point? So I'd like them to have, you know, like a kind of clear mission statement or purpose. So I've written one about Waste Not, Want Not and leftovers, and the last one was linking mood and food, because I'm really passionate about talking more and being less ashamed about talking about our mental health. And on this one, I thought, well, that we kind, it's so weird because it's simple, but it's complicated, in that we kind of know what ultra-processed foods are, but then at the same time, we kind of don't, because the category is humongous. We don't always know what's in ingredients. We don't always understand what's in them. Formulas change all the time. Brands buy out other brands. It's a moving, movable feast, so it's confusing. But at the same time, we can keep it simple by forgetting about the ultra-processed foods, because for one, we don't need to be thinking about them so much. It's quite hard when they're just in our faces.
Everywhere.
So for me, the best thing to do is return to real food, which is more of the whole food. So in a way, people that have been buying my book, because it's been out for a month now, their feedback is, I thought you were going to just sort of bang on about ultra-processed foods, which isn't necessarily very delicious and maybe a little bit like anxiety-inducing. But what I like is that instead of talking about the ultra-processed foods, you've gone, right, they're there. We want to eat less. That's why we picked up the books. So let's eat more of all the other stuff that we know does us good, and try and make that stuff more appealing and more convenient.
Yeah.
Because the reason we're going for the ultra-processed food is because it's so delicious and it's convenient.
Are there things that are ultra-processed foods that would be surprising? Because if it feels easy, you're like, we'll just buy whole food.
But that's it. It is surprising. And then there's things, so you can have a product and different brands or different iterations of it in a, like, a, for example, bread.
Yeah.
You can have bread with three ingredients. You can have bread with 300, I'm slightly exaggerating, 30 ingredients. I was trying to be clever there with three and three.
No, 30.
So three and 30. I could have just stopped at 30.
It's always a temptation to carry on.
So then, you know, and you can have your plain, lovely yogurt. And then you can have your yogurt with all of your corner bits and snap, crackle and pop and all that excitingness.
UPF.
So yes, that's what I mean. It's simple, but it's also confusing. Mm. And then don't get me started on kids' food or the health halo food of where you think something's healthy or you're hoping that it's healthy. I was listening to your episode with the lovely Sophie Wybird, who I'm hoping to do some cooking with soon. Big fan of hers. And she and you guys were getting very excited about gut health.
Yes.
And again,
did we get it right? Were we all right?
You were getting excited.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we are excited.
Yeah, you were excited.
Yeah, we are.
And I thought it was amazing, because when I've been on food podcasts just 2 years ago, no one was talking about food and mental health. No one was talking about food and gut health. And people didn't want to talk about the other side of food, which is health, because it's for somehow, if you talk about food and health, you're not foodie enough, or you're a dag, or you're a joy stealer.
Yeah, get with the times, I'd say.
You want to eat well and feel good.
You've got Tim Spector writing the quote on the front of your book.
Yeah.
Obviously in charge of the world famous Zoe. Talk about collabs with Sophie Wybird. Can we see a Tim Spector, Melissa Hemsley collab?
Time Sophie. Oh. Yeah, talking about, you're leaving Sophie out. Oh.
I want to collab with Sophie, but that could be something different. I'm saying, can we see you...
Tim and Tim
come together and do Zoe / Melissa.
You don't want to cut Sophie out, but...
No, it's a different project.
It's a different project.
I got excited then. Let's get Sophie. Okay, sorry. Okay.
You could have shots at M&S by next week if we get this right.
We get this right.
I haven't tried his shots. Are they nice? Tried them?
No.
You know what the bit I really did like, and obviously I love all the recipes in there, but not many people have managed to crack that kind of increased amount of people are working at home, or also, you know, going to the office and wanting to like eat proper food. As you say there, they don't want to go buy like packaged sandwiches. Mm.
So well, not every day, perhaps.
No, switch so that's what I like, your breakfast on the go and that kind of packed lunch section. Can you take us through a couple of your like favourite little tips, tricks, or like even recipes from the book, just to give people an idea of what's
I'd
in
love
there?
To. A few things that I'm excited about are things I can put in my thermos.
Yes.
Or flask.
Yes.
I wrote a whole book about that called Max's Picnic Book.
Did you?
Yeah. It was all ultra-processed foods, unfortunately. Things like frankfurters and packet tortellini.
But there was a thermos flask for everyone.
Thermos flask keeping things warm as you leave the house.
Yes.
Genius.
Brilliant.
So I'm fully on board
with
that.
I'm wondering if there's a flask big enough to take your one-pot lasagna.
I hope there is. I can take it on the flight tomorrow.
There's like a 2 litre Stanley.
You've got some big ones.
Yeah.
Yes, have you bought a big one today? Or not?
No, I don't.
I suppose summer, we haven't had that much.
Don't forget, you can keep cold stuff in it too.
You can.
But that's
recipes from the book.
Back to ultra processed. So many people will be like, oh, you probably won't like that. But the thing is I'm not suggesting that we cut out, or try not to suggest how anyone should eat anyway. Mm. I mean, obviously, if you buy my book and I've written recipes, I'm suggesting you follow the recipes. But I don't want to demonize them or come across judgy. And I also love eating ultra-processed foods. I try not to keep, in the same way that I don't keep loads of alcohol in my house.
Yeah.
Because it would be tempting to have a drink every night. And that does not suit my life as a mother. It definitely affects my depression and anxiety. Yeah. And I try and keep more fruit and veg in because if I don't have it in, I won't eat as much. So that's how I feel about ultra processed foods. And there's a time and a place. And like, for example, I don't want to say the brand name because I bet you've got a better one on the website. But, you know, I love the childhood tomato ketchup. And I'm always up for trying a new one.
Well, go in deli and try some.
Which one shall I try? No, look, I've got my frumpy mum post-it note.
Well, you may get some later.
Okay. You may get some, you may not. You can't dangle that one.
Well, because there's a bag of treats later.
Oh, I see. So later on today.
Don't want to reveal too soon.
Okay, then.
But I do want to ask just a couple of quick recipes, because people listen, go, this sounds banging, healthier, but more delicious.
You're giving me a lovely moment to talk about my book, and I'm banging on about an ultra-processed brand.
Ketchups.
So autumnal, that's what we were talking about. So the one-pot lazy lasagna is an excellent shout. Mm. Today's Friday. Yesterday, I made the baked... is it called the baked banana bake or the banana bake? You'll know this from writing cookbooks. People just change the title on you left, right and centre. Yeah. Let's call it the baked banana bake. Mm. It's basically porridge baked. So it's fantastic. And then the next day it gets more hard and formed and it gets a bit more flapjacky. Lovely to take on the plane. If your mum's got any bits of fruit hanging around, you could just bungle it together. Bundle it together. The smashed banana obviously acts as the kind of cement. You get some oats in there, any ends of packets of nuts and seeds, and it's so lovely. Kids love it too.
Yeah.
I'm not just going to look at you like, it's the thing, right? When you become a dad and mum, like everything that's to do with the kid, look at you.
As you're talking, I just feel so bad because we don't buy the little pouches and stuff. But the kid gets a lot of ultra-processed food.
I don't buy the pouches, but you know what? I do buy some snacks every now and then for my child when we go on long journeys. And I
sort of crucial.
I make loads, but then there's times where you get caught short. Same with me. So I think that
no one's perfect.
No.
Well, nor are we trying to be. And you know how they say stress kills. Like, what would be the no point like eating kale every day, hating it, stressing yourself out that way. Thinking about snacks is the hardest bit, whether it's for the child or for me.
Yeah.
And back to the recipes.
Tray bakes.
Tray bakes are key. One pot. I've got something called Throw It Together Lentils, which is inspired by a dal, but is not a dal. And it very much is all in one pan using frozen spinach. And you can use tinned tomatoes, or coming towards the end of summer, throw some cherry tomatoes. Then I throw peas in too. I eat a lot from my freezer.
Yeah, freezer.
And my cupboard and my fridge. And I love my red lentils because I feel like 2003, 2004 has been the year of the bean.
Mm.
Beans have had a big marketing push.
Bold Binko.
They are fantastic. And like, you know, could potentially be extending our lives each by another 50 years, as we know that beans are going to make us live till 100 plus.
But we could broaden into the whole legume section.
We could. Let's not leave out red lentils.
Amen.
Also, what I like about red lentils is beans are affordable depending on the brand you buy or how often you eat them. And I think what's amazing about bold beans is their texture is so great that when the beans are the star of the show, really nice. But, you know, beans in a tin, 49p, just as good. Red lentils are so cheap. They cook in 18 minutes. Yeah. I have a recipe in the book, which is called the super sauce. And it's tin tomatoes. It's basically a tomato pasta sauce, but with red lentils, which adds more fiber, more protein and creaminess and heartiness. And so I'll put that on pizzas, put that in tomato pasta sauces, and then also turn it into a soup. That's a nice one.
That is nice.
Yeah.
I'd love to do kids' books. You should do a kids' book.
I'm talented enough, but you
You've written three cookbooks. I hope you'll agree from the book is I'm not extreme in any way.
No.
Like I said, you could read the book and not just ignore
it's not an extreme
stuff.
Piece of work,
but I felt my mum was quite extreme in the sense that, you know, we didn't have I'd have killed for a fish finger chicken nugget in my own freezer. Obviously, if you went round to someone's house and you were lucky
straight
enough to be invited, you know that bit where you don't know whether you're being invited for tea,
you don't
know if they want to get rid of you,
yeah
but you can smell it cooking,
you see the goujons going in the oven, you see
and you're trying to work out how many are going in and if there's enough so anyway, or you know, the pizza's going in or something. So my mum wasn't into that, and I remember asking for my birthday for the multi-pack of Kellogg's cereal.
They were
as
good.
My actual birthday present.
What did you get? You didn't, did she relinquish
your actual birthday present?
I think she used to buy me like textbooks for
really
my birthday. She wanted me to be a doctor,
like Mira, like Mira's mother.
Oh my god, it's
so
like
intense.
I'm just
intense
birth. Mira's mum wanted her to
my friend Dave, who just got married yesterday, and congratulations Dave. He had similar parents.
Did you go to his wedding?
Well, I went to, he had a party on the weekend, and then they went to a registry office. But anyway, Dave.
Did you have to buy the wedding present if you didn't go to the real thing?
We're giving them a present.
Okay, that's nice of you.
But maybe not quite as much. We would have spent more if we'd been at the actual ceremony.
It's the tear down.
Yeah. Using the deli discount, I hope.
Yeah, 100%. No, we didn't
have access
use
to a deli discount.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Brilliant.
Everyone
is it active
now?
We don't get a special one for being on the podcast.
We'll give you an even more special.
You get 26% off.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, Dave's parents are like what you're describing to your mum. And they had this category that he thought was like for treats. And they called it bread niceties. And they were so harsh on him that like even just butter on bread had become the like, that was the like pinnacle.
Are they invited to his wedding?
They sadly were not invited. No, of course they were.
Wow.
Anyway, the point is that it's driven him to have a very sweet tooth, isn't it?
Benjamin, talking about Delhi, it's time to play Delhi Steady Cook.
Love how you keep us on track.
Yeah, well, we have to. Delhi Steady Cook, a game that loads of people want to play, and you're about to play it, Melissa, so
beautifully
who's lucky
held
here?
Up.
Thank you
Come
so
on, Ben,
much.
What's in the bag today?
Can I go put my hand in?
Yeah, that's actually a nice feature that we've never done before.
Okay. Mira didn't do it then.
No.
Sophie Weiberg didn't do it.
No.
Kept the hands
not right. Interested.
One at a time?
Yeah, one at a time.
Tell us what we got.
That's a
spiced.
Very nice duck.
Is it Duca or Dukka?
Dukka.
Is it Dukka?
You have to say it in a Burmese.
Wow. Accent. Olives et al. Egyptian style. Wow. This looks so nice.
Yeah, they sell olives.
I can't tell you. The second I see things in a jar, I think about what I'm going to put in it when the jar's finished.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I like
how
that.
Sad I am.
Yeah.
Well, nice thing with Dukka is you could maybe, even when you just got a little bit of it left, that
make
could
a salad
dressing.
Dressing
of its own.
There we go. Shall we do a salad dressing book together?
Yeah.
Because the great thing about making a salad dressing, which could be your mini meal prep, not you, one.
But someone's.
It will make you eat more vegetables, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
this
true.
Looks
that's
amazing.
Great. So that's the Dukka. What's next?
Oh, Ben, we don't get to hang out chatting about it too much.
Not too much.
Move it along.
They're not paying us enough to do that.
Here we are talking about making your own salad dressing.
I know, I've done
and
a UPF.
There's an app. No,
I've done a UPF
don't get all UPF-y on it.
UPF-y. Have I?
Swiss. What's Swiss about it?
I don't know. And I thought
I
we could find
a cool name. Swiss salad.
I sort of like the branding. I thought it was quite jazzy.
It's like Peter Piper Pit.
What you're going to discover is I've done a relatively random selection.
Can I tell you something? I get stressed out by QR codes.
Me too.
Don't ask
don't
me to
feel
do stuff
obliged
with them.
To scan it.
Don't
because
fall for it. Now this.
Ooh, drizzle my nizzle.
What's the lady called? Christina Soteriou.
Sots. Christina Sots.
Christina Sots.
Is this Christina's
new product?
Oh,
drizzle,
I think
baby.
She is so amazing and cool.
Unbelievable. Shout out to Christina.
Yeah.
Shout out to Christina. Do you know what? We don't even know each other. We are. I think. Well, I follow her. I assume she follows me.
Of course, she
I invited her to my book launch. Never expected her to come, and she came, and it really made my day.
Yeah. That's so
this
sweet.
This is great. And also, sorry if this is too much information.
No, not at all.
I had a baby via frozen embryo transfer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so many people, thank you very much. Yeah. So many people suggested that beetroot's really good for the blood.
Yes.
And your womb. And I mean, it's good.
Melissa.
It's good for people
good
without
for
a womb, and it's good, as you say, for other things too. Today, literally, you saw my notebook with stuff I think me to do. I said to myself, eat more beetroot. Beetroot,
I think generally
pomegranate and tahini. Oh, I've lingered on that beetroot.
This is Kasundi.
Wow.
From a little
I've
place
never
called
had
Milk.
Kasundi. I'd love to open that.
Well, you're going to get straight into it. You're taking it home.
Thank you so much.
This is just a little snack. Sundi
Bengali
That's
Sundi.
A snack on when you're gigging.
That's from Happy Place Provisions. Just some tasty little
Thank
treats.
Thank you very
Again,
much.
Again, have I UPF'd
wow.
you?
No, they're freshly made.
I think
you
none of this is UPF.
No,
right?
They're freshly made.
They're made in small batches, made with
and
love,
I
can
wish
tell. Pinto beans.
These were red lentils, but they're not.
Well, pinto beans is good enough.
They're beans.
Yeah.
They're beans. And do you know what?
Cool chili cone.
Not only are they beans, which is great, but also pinto beans don't get the love that the chickpea gets. Like,
no. Yeah.
Give over the chickpea,
yeah,
the
we
black
get it, Amelia.
Bean.
You've done a brilliant job at Bolden. Yeah. Can we give these guys a go?
Pinto beans, fantastic.
She'll bring a bean.
Actually, I think there's a lovely Puerto Rican pinto soup recipe that I might have saved years ago.
Really?
That I've been
Just
wanting
for this
to
moment.
Make.
Well, we're going to ask you right at the end what you can do with all these. But until we do, we're going to ask you what is your go-to cocktail, because we're about to have a drink.
Yes, we
Ben,
are.
What are you bringing out?
It's a Bellini.
Go on. Okay.
A Bellini.
Yeah.
Boring, no?
Well, no, but nice.
I love peach.
These ice cubes are brilliant today, Ben. I should shout out for your
all
ice cubes.
My special ice cube.
Have these come all the way on the train?
Yeah.
Quite incredible.
The Bellini, a Bellini I love because I just...
Bellini I love. Sounds like a song from Greece,
the Bellini I love.
Yeah.
I love peach. And I feel that often I find Proseccos and champagnes like a little bit acidic on the tongue.
Yeah.
So then the sweetness is quite nice.
Well, we got Prosecco here for you.
No, we don't.
No, I'm joking, we don't. What do we
I
have?
I just like the branding on these. I got sent these by Deli with two L's.
Well, they look great.
And they're called Session Sodas.
What excellent branding.
Be quite hard.
I'll get rhubarb and ginger, actually.
Do you know what I like about this? Yeah.
Melissa, which one would you like?
Okay, hang on. I just grabbed one, didn't I? Oh.
Left and right.
I think ginger's going to give you more good gut health.
Yeah. Left because of the food waste angle. Is that why you picked it for me? Because you know I love chatting food
wonky
waste.
Wonky is wonderful. It's made using wonky fruit and veg.
And ripe.
And it's only 66 calories. I mean, only, we're all
mine are 92 calories for it because the apple carries
calories. I'm sorry, Ben.
Who knew?
Couple more calf lifts for you under the table.
Yeah.
Apparently that's what we're supposed to do or could do.
Really?
If you... I was just reading. My mum sends
half
me
lifts.
Stuff. Because most of us eat through... Most of us... Some of us skip lunch. Some of us... write angry blood sugar level crashing emails because we don't have time to get away from our desks. And that's why the sandwich and the meal deal is raining, because we're overworked and undernourished and too stressed.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they say if you can't walk around the block after a meal, which is like, feels like basic human rights to eat, you got to do a couple of calf raises.
Calf raises.
Okay. I read a thing.
I do about two.
We're all doing it. That just going for a walk after every meal you have is the single easiest way to like extend your life expectancy.
Yeah.
But it is funny how we keep talking about extending our lives and having a better life, like definitely having a better life.
And one way
through
to do
food.
That is by buying your book, which is available
That's
now.
Kind.
And the link is in the bio.
That's kind. That's really kind. Am I going to tell you what I'd like to do with these?
Not yet.
No, at the end of the show.
No, we need time to think about it. We don't want you to do a rush decision.
Okay. Stick to the format of the show. It's been worked out beautifully for
Assuming
a reason.
Assuming Freddie and I coming around to yours for dinner.
Yeah.
What are you giving us for a little pre-dinner drink and potentially a snack?
I saw you kind of like looking a little bit like flat when I mentioned the Bellini, so I don't think I would
not flat at all.
My world famous Bellini.
I have my head in my cooler bag.
I would maybe bring... I would maybe put out some of my booze areas and let you help yourself. Is that lazy?
No. That's really
I might put out some salt, some spicy, some tajine, not tajine. No,
like
tajine.
Build your own kind of.
Build your own, because like I think that's a really good thing, because nobody wants a frazzled party host. And I think one of the things, if you're doing the food, let people worry about the drink.
Yeah, what's the food there?
Oh, well, hang on a minute.
I was getting excited.
So you've walked in, my dog has barked your ear off, my baby's body slammed you.
Love it.
You walk in, you're greeted by the sort of bar area and you fix yourself a drink. I will also maybe have put out some salty, sticky spice nuts because they're really easy and then the house smells nice as well.
So you've roasted like they've been roasted.
Do you know what? Cost of living. Might not turn the oven on. Might just do it in a frying pan. And then my favourite thing to do is add maple syrup at the end. So make it go more extra sticky and the salty sweet. Oh, that sounds good over there.
Yeah, it was like a Diet Coke break.
So you're going to have that to start with your drink, whatever cocktail you've made. And then, is it boring? I might roast the chicken.
Yeah, no, you do.
Might just roast the chicken. Do you know what? I'd probably roast two. Because,
got the oven on anyway.
The oven's on anyway. And you might like a bit more. And if you don't, secretly, I won't want you to eat too much, because then I can have roast chicken sandwiches the next day. Or something like that. You need to get you and Lou on.
Sorry.
Yes, we
get
do.
Get you and Lou on. She's got a book out tomorrow.
Really?
Let's give her a call now.
That would be nice. That's like...
Oh my God. Speaking of delicious food, I went to her book launch 3 weeks ago and it was so lovely. She had these like little pork belly and vermicelli noodle lettuce cups.
Oh.
You know how people are like, she's the feeder. She is.
She's the feeder. She's got treats.
So I might do a roast chicken. I probably do one amazing slaw of some kind because I can make it a bit in advance.
Yeah.
Good for our gut health.
Yeah.
I might make some sort of garlicky yogurt with some herbs.
Yes.
I've been trying to grow herbs.
Have you?
Not very well, but if they last, if you came over in the next month, they might last.
Okay, we'll schedule that so that we do get the herbs.
We'll get it in the
door. And if you did come over in the next month, I've got 3 mini cucumbers that might be ready to pick then.
Whoa, this is exciting. We should definitely come over the next month.
Because that's two good things.
Melissa, what's your morning drink of choice? You get up in the morning, the baby's probably crying, I'm guessing. Maybe not. I say baby. Are they still babies after one?
They should be. Toddlers. They're called toddlers, but they're so tiny still. Well, I was trying not to drink too much coffee because I was breastfeeding, but then we stopped breastfeeding, so I'm bang on the coffee
again. Black coffee.
But I will try and keep it to one because of my anxiety.
Yeah.
And my mum makes this thing called salabat, which is basically fresh ginger that you just keep boiling and boiling.
Ooh, nice.
And speaking of things like pho, you know, I am a big fan of just like having stuff simmering away or just sat on the cooker, like some ginger juice, let's say.
Yeah.
And some of that I might ice with some lemon and honey. Some of that I might could turn into a cocktail for when you come over.
Yes.
And some of it I might spoon into a chicken noodle soup with my leftover chicken that you didn't all eat.
That's
so rude of you not to finish the chicken.
So just on this clever ginger, is that just some water with shitloads of ginger in it?
Yeah, but then sometimes I'll add lime or lemongrass. Like,
and is that just boiled down?
It's just sort of steeping away.
And when I say boil, I mean
what about when you're ill? Like, what do you have?
Oh, that.
Obviously your mum's from the Philippines, which you mentioned, right?
Mm.
Maybe listeners aren't aware of that. So are there any sort of old school remedies which she still holds true to her heart? Like when you were ill when you were younger, Ben used to say your mum gave you a Lucozade. What did your mum do? I'm guessing she was making something beautiful with ginger. Maybe she wasn't.
Well, she wasn't letting me have the Lucozade, was she?
No, or
any of the things I wanted.
No.
She probably would have just made me go to school. And she was like, you're not going to be a doctor if you miss a day.
No.
She probably would have made me the salabat. And then also, you know, everyone's heritage has got a chicken soup.
Mm-hmm.
The Filipino one is, well, there's two amazing, particularly amazing chicken dishes from the Philippines. One is the unofficial national dish, which is called chicken adobo. It's like the Spanish adobo. It's, although the Philippines has a, it was colonized by the Spanish. Anyway, King Philip of Spain, Philippines. So it's got Spanish influence, Malaysian, Chinese. It is chicken braised in vinegar and soy and tons of garlic and bay leaves. The bay leaves, I think, comes from the Spanish influence.
Yeah.
And you have it with white rice. And sorry, loads of peppercorns, black peppercorns. The dish you would make, and I probably had that once a week my whole life. You can have it with pork too.
Yeah.
And in one of my books, I've got a mushroom version, which is also really nice with shiitake mushrooms. The chicken dish you'd probably make if I was not feeling well would be the chicken tinola, which is onions, garlic, ginger, potato, carrots. She would use local greens, but she's lived in Kingston for 40 years, so she's not using local greens.
It's a very, very good outdoor market, so she probably gets some greens.
That's exactly where she gets it from.
Yeah.
You know how old that market is? You know why Kingston's called Kingston?
Because of the king.
I was about to say royalty, but there's only been a couple of queens. Where the kings would come and get, not cremated.
No.
What do I want to say? No. Coronated.
Yeah.
They get burnt in the market.
Burnt alive.
In the square while everyone's picking up their fish heads.
Is that right?
So that's why.
It's a very old market.
It's a very old market, and that market's been there. So my mum, you know, would go there and get, you know,
she
works 6 days a week. She could be there right now.
That's quite a beautiful thought.
I'm there every morning. So I'm
Mum and
look
Ben
for
just passing hands over the greens.
Hello.
Is it you?
You just can't go up to, you know, a lady and just go, excuse me.
But both ready to make amazing dishes.
I can narrow it because anyone buying greens.
We do look a little bit alike.
Okay, so it looks like you buying greens.
So funny. My baby actually looks quite like my mum. It's amazing how
she will be liking that, I presume.
My mum, the baby, they love each other. And speaking of Filipino dishes, for my baby's birthday, we had such a row. I was like, I don't want to have a party. I'm too busy. You did one then?
No, I'm guessing what
you
she said.
You have a party, yeah. Anyway, we had a massive fight because, there's like four little kids there and it was a 3:30 to 5 o'clock party. So I was like, let's just get a cake. I just got a Lily Vanilli lovely cake, really for me.
Nice cake.
And my mum was like, let's feed everyone. I was like, it's not eating time. Anyway, she spent like 24 hours making lumpia, which is Filipino spring rolls. So loads of onions, garlic, grated carrots, and minced beef, rolled up in rice paper, small, not like a big Chinese style spring roll, little, so maximum surface area for frying. She doesn't deep fry them, just shallow fry in a pan. And then we normally just get like sweet chili sauce, shop bought, but then add some extra vinegar and sometimes some fish sauce and make a little dip. And then you just dip it in there.
And well, I mean, people were delighted, I presume, when the Olympia came.
Well, we didn't know because, you know, these are new friends because they're babies. So the baby's mum, someone was vegetarian, so she didn't want them. Someone else.
Nightmare.
The babies didn't want them.
Nightmare.
So it turned out brilliant because I ate them all.
Yeah, okay.
Everyone's having
it. It all turned out great. So Filipino food, if you've not had any.
Out of interest, where in London are there good places to get really good Filipino food?
Do you guys know Budgie Montana?
Yeah.
Get him on.
Budgie Montoya.
Montoya, sorry. Yes.
As in I don't.
Budgie,
yeah.
Sorry, I just thinking of Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana.
Yeah, Montana.
Sorry about that, Budgie.
It happens all
Budgie's got the best name.
Apart from yours, Ben Benton.
Yeah, mine's silly, but Budgie Montoya. Anyway, okay, find Budgie.
Melissa, when you left school, you became a private chef. You started cooking for bands, including Tate there. I mean, come on. Were you traveling around the world with them? Were they prima donnas? What was it like being the private chef for Tate there?
They're lovely, not prima donnas.
Was Robbie involved at that point or not?
Robbie wasn't.
Okay.
No.
Maybe
well, I did. What?
Well, such like, you know, big egos in the room when Robbie's not there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, no, I used to know the backing singer who sang for Robbie and like,
he'd
have like a 3.5 hour massage every night before. Like, not that that's a big.
You've got to stay supple.
Yeah, true. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Anyway,
you're not wrong.
What was he like?
Who's got the time for 3.5 hours?
No, I know.
They were lovely. And I tried to have a policy of only working for nice or with nice people, right? Because it is, you know, I've sort of mentioned mental health a few times. And if there's a way you cannot work with people that don't really turn your life upside down, that's a good thing. So they are lovely.
But how does that work, like being a chef for a band? Like, are they all on the same menu? Are they...
Well, it's sort of complicated, but I didn't tour with them.
Okay.
Again, another thing I said to my sister, let's not do that, because actually being a tour chef is a whole nother skill set. Like being a chef is one skill set. Obviously, you've got your specialities. Like being a tour chef is a total speciality. You've got to know where you're getting your meat from.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah, you don't get it stressful.
And also, I like going to bed early. And what am I going to do? Feed someone at 11 o'clock after their 3.5 hour massage?
Yeah.
Potentially. So we didn't do that bit. But what we did do is we started off cooking for one of them. And then the others liked the look of their food when he took it to rehearsals, and they were like, oh, can you make me some? And most of them, I mean, I haven't seen every single one of them cook, but I have spent time with them. Some of my clients, I went to their weddings, you know, like I'm still in touch with some of them. They're all pretty good cooks and they all love their food. It's just that I guess they saw having a private chef as an investment in their tour because the food gave them energy. They wanted to feel their best. And also we all look forward to food after a long, hard day's work.
Absolutely.
So that, I think, was the appeal of me and my sister. And also, I think they liked that we were a family cooking for them. I think they probably liked that we were quite discreet. Hopefully I'm not being like too indiscreet now. But, you know, I think they liked that. And also at the time, there wasn't many private chefs that weren't super fancy. There was one, I remember, like Raw Food Delivery Service. And that didn't suit, anyway. that didn't suit whatever they were looking for.
And then
how other private chefs.
You just announced that's what you're doing.
Announce it to whom?
My mother. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Literally fell into it. And then cooking for bands and actors. Did that for 3 years.
Amazing.
And sometimes I think, and then I go, don't be an idiot. I think, oh God, I'd love to go back to that. But you know,
don't
I wouldn't be able to be on
that. Suddenly you got a best-selling book with your sister. You're about to go on TV. How did that jump from cooking for bands to being on TV happen?
I think there was an appetite. You know, we're talking like 18 years ago before, when Facebook was like for working out what your ex was doing. It wasn't a business place. Instagram didn't exist. Twitter was just angry people as always. And so there wasn't these platforms. And also magazines didn't, there weren't podcasts.
No.
You know, there weren't magazine. You know, magazines didn't have a digital presence. So British Vogue was one of the few that did have its Vogue.co.uk, but it was really small.
Yeah.
And it was also seen as like, at the time, less interesting than the magazine. It'd be like, oh my God, we're going to be in Vogue. Oh, what? When can I buy the magazine? It'd be like online. Weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
The flip. As the appetite grew, so, you know, then starting to cook for one guy, Then the rest of the band wanted it. Then their friend who was doing a West End run wanted us to do his theatre shows. And then someone came, was coming in from America and filming for 3 months. And they went, can't do all of that and can't do it all well. So then they say, can you just give us your recipes and we'll hire other people to make them? And we were like, we don't write stuff down. I didn't have and still don't have a fantastic business acumen. So it was always like, oh, what can we do? What can we do? Long story short, keep saying long story short, but long story short, someone was like, write down recipes.
Yeah.
Because then you can share them. People will get them. Then we were like, okay, well, let's do what people are calling like a Tumblr or WordPress. And I literally remember going, which one should I do? A Tumblr or WordPress? Googling it. I think we picked a WordPress and started putting the recipes up. And then someone else was like, why don't you try and partner with a media partner? I mean, I didn't even know what partnering with a media partner was.
Sounds good, though.
And we asked loads of people. And at the time, the person we had access to was in the fashion team at Vogue. So they contacted Vogue and went, who does food or anything to do with food? No one did food at Vogue. There wasn't food at Vogue. And the beauty editor said, we could fill a page online. Why don't you write a recipe? Didn't get paid. And that's what we did. We put it up. And then very quickly, we got offered a book deal. And then we went, don't be silly. We don't know what we're doing. We don't have time to do this. Obviously, nice to be asked.
Very nice to be asked.
And then a couple of years later, we were like, okay, yeah, let's have a go at this. And
what a sensational book.
I think you're being kind. I mean, I think it was
a real splash.
I think it was different at the time because a lot of people weren't doing food and healthiness in the same way that I think...
you and Delicious Ella kind of...
Yeah, she was out
wrestling each other for supremacy at the top of that wonderful
Stop
new
it,
market.
Don't say that. You know, and also we our book was very different from Ella. Like, we are very different. Well, different, but complementary, like Whole Foods. But I mean, you know, I remember just always getting lumped in like, oh, there's a girl cooking and she's not a trained chef and she's talking about health. You must all be the same.
You must all
eat the same.
Yeah.
But did you get shit as well because you're not a trained nutritionist? People like to come out in the comments. I mean, these were earlier.
Yeah, and even if you would say, I'm not a trained chef and I'm not a trained nutritionist. Yeah. And people were like, how dare you call yourself a chef and a nutritionist?
Yeah.
Or we would do a recipe for like osso buco and people would be like, how dare you be vegan? We're like, we're not.
No.
Nutters.
Yeah. Well, Delicious Ella has many great things to, you know, claim, but one thing she doesn't is the spiralizer, nor practically
Hang
inventing.
On, are we going back to the invention? Is that where you were
inventing
going?
Practically
inventing
courgette. Well, courgette's
the invention, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but you're basically saying a couple of minutes ago that you didn't have great business acumen, but oh my God, one of your best sellers must have been that spiralizer and the courgette. Just talk us through that, because everyone was, and now they just sell it in every single supermarket.
Do you like courgette?
I enjoy it, yeah.
Not your...
No, I do enjoy it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you? Do you buy it packaged?
No. I would always spiralize with my Hemsley and Hemsley
you
spiralizer.
You don't have a Hemsley and Hemsley spiralizer. Does your mum?
Oh, I don't know. She probably does.
My dad has one.
Your dad's got one?
Yeah, yeah.
Has he?
He does.
Does he use it?
It's hard to tell. He likes a gadget.
I'll tell you what it's really good for. Spiralizing apples.
Yeah, nice.
So that... If you just imagine how easy an apple is to spiralize because it's got a bit more girth. Because obviously, like a courgette, it gets to a point where it just is so floppy, whereas an apple is rotund. And you spiralize a couple of apples, obviously lay it in a baking tray, cover it with oats and cinnamon and butter.
Mm.
Bit of sweetness. You've got a lovely little very quick cooking, like crumbly That's business. Lovely. Or you spiralize the apple and turn it into apple fritters.
But the spiralizer.
The spiralizer, Freddie.
You guys, what? Obviously, you had like a 20% on that. It sold so well. I'm saying business wise, was that great for you or not?
I mean, but the thing is,
it was huge.
We didn't.
I know it was huge.
I don't think it was huge.
Right. Maybe in my small spiralizing life, it was.
I mean, how old were you at the time? We're talking 15 years ago. How old are you?
Probably 20 something.
20 something.
Not even 20.
I don't know what you 18. Were doing with your life at the time.
Most people were like clubbing, and I was just like staring at spiralizing.
Were you like
videos.
On like the kind of Good Housekeeping to buy?
Yeah.
No, it was not our invention. It existed. It's basically kind of inspired by the mandolin or a bog standard box grater. And we teamed up with someone, put our name on it because people kept going. Which one are you buying? Just send them to that one. But I don't think it sold that many. I think it was
exciting.
Did.
Everyone had one. I'm worried that you had like an S Club 7 type manager that you're not seeing the profits.
What happened to S Club 7?
I just feel they didn't make any money.
What's his name? Searching for Sugar Man. made all that money and
Sugar
then didn't get any of it.
It's a very sad story as well.
Should we try and find out who your old manager was, Melissa? I'm worried.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to find out. You could just find it. You could just it's not too dark secret.
No wonder your sister fell out. That's a surprising bit.
Is that one reason I think people loved it is because it was a way of talking about vegetables. Mm. And also it's very visual, yeah. Right? So it was like, yeah, we know we need to eat more vegetables. And I don't know, are we all just big kids? It just looked really fun, didn't it?
Like the plasticine machines. Like
did it with Philip Schofield on This Morning.
Yeah.
Did it with, you know, what?
Yeah, not controversial.
Yeah, not controversial. No. You know, the number of people I spiralise with.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think what I now understand about the world of, well, I don't understand much. I'm being a bit you.
Yeah, don't put yourself
sorry.
Down.
Can you see how infectious it is?
It is infectious and it's damaging to all of us.
No, but I don't know how much these things work. But you know what? When you go on TV, they like things that are visual. Yeah. So it was a visual thing to do.
I think the new thing now is cuttlefish spaghetti.
Really?
Yeah.
Not on a spiralizer.
No, not on a spiralizer, but like...
Oh my God, I just had a vision.
Yeah, it's not got the girth, it's not rigid enough.
That's a new, like, kind of healthy...
Is there?
Pasta supplement. I mean,
why is everyone trying to health up pasta? Pasta's brilliant.
I'm talking about courgettes.
But eat more of the other stuff as well.
Have you missed it? Well, I hope you haven't passed up the opportunity to make courgette one more time for Melissa, or have you?
I have, mate.
Because we should get
it. You know what? Get it off your. If your dad's
got me.
If your dad's still got it,
he does.
Get it for your kid and let them play with it.
Yeah, 100%.
Obviously, there's some sharp bits. I didn't mean to say that.
Well, I'm thinking I want a sweet potato one there. Would that work?
Yeah. And then what you do is obviously lay it in a baking tray, loads of paprika and so on, and you can have like curly fries.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
but honestly, do try the like quick cooking apple pancakey bake. Yeah,
that sounds
delicious. I think that would be fun. Do you know what? Maybe I'll do it with my daughter.
Yeah, I think you should.
You guys should have a play date. Bring the son, daughter around. Spiralize. Just have a spiralizing play party.
Maybe that's what I could do. We'll just be centrally. Like the spiralizing, like singing.
You should start like a nursery. You
can charge £20
yeah.
to for kids to just
come,
you know, spiralize. Not even an hour session, 45 minutes.
Ben, do we have courgette? What do we have? You're going to bring out some food?
Oh my God, you've not brought out courgette, have you? I thought you were going to feed me like something you'd made. Are we going to spiralise right now?
No.
No, that would have been good.
You're going to chat.
That would have been good TV.
But I'm going to ask you, what is your go-to delivery order? I know we're against ultra-processed foods, but if you are going to get
not,
a delivery...
But not all...
No.
Blah, 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 blah. Have you ever been to an incredible Thai restaurant called Singburi?
Ben, have you been? I imagine you
never got in.
Guys, Singburi is amazing, and it was really close to where I lived, but it was really hard, as you said, to get a table. So if you were quick and careful, you could go
in
and get it to take away.
And what are you getting?
By 5:45, whatever was on the specials board. Okay. I mean, it was super spicy, and I told you, I'm less able to tolerate spice.
Yeah.
The usuals, papaya salad. Oh, they had this amazing crispy pork.
Oh,
I tell you what, I haven't been back that way since I moved to North London, but I would for that. So that would have been one of my orders.
What about the dish you cook the most midweek?
What I'm having tonight, because we're going away tomorrow, is I've got leftover quinoa, which I know some people be like, God, no. So, you know, you could do this with your leftover rice. I just took all the veggies, including courgettes. There's tomato courgettes. I got some basil and thyme from the garden. And when I say the garden, like literally a little... dying herb pot, fried it all up with onions and garlic. Then once it had cooled, I chucked the quinoa, which had gone in a really large tray. So then hopefully the quinoa would get a bit crispy, because then I olive oiled it up.
Mm-hmm.
I tore the mozzarella on top.
Mm.
And because I'm here with you, all my boyfriend has to do is chuck it in the oven and then grill it on top.
Oh, wow.
Are you actually joking? This is amazing. Thank you so much.
This is the floor kitchen of dreams.
Shit, that looks... I can't believe you've just prepared all of this. Thank you. That's stunning.
That does look very good. Well, we need you down the microphone, Ben. Ben
was inspired by you.
I think you should take the microphone with you. I feel like the camera needs to come with you now. I want to come over here.
We're looking for a...
Basically.
Floor kitchen, we're not allowed.
We're looking for a floor kitchen sponsor. So that
we are. We're also after a hydration pump.
No, I know what Ben needs.
What?
Get a tray and then get like a cigarette girl... Ooh. Things that go around your neck, and
yes.
You can just do it all on there.
That would be great, like an ice cream stand at the theatre.
Yeah.
and you're just like cooking on the...
And then we can just grab stuff off his tray.
That would be amazing.
That is how I cook quite a lot of the time. There will always be something that's been cooked and left over. So if I look at what Ben's made for us now, we've got this beautiful platter of... Yeah. Is that Christina Sott's beetroot tahini?
Looks like it.
Okay, so I will always have something dippy.
Yeah. Well, that's why deli's so good.
That's why deli is so good. Deli dippies. I'll have something deli-ish. Do you know what? My eyesight's so bad, I didn't even spot the halloumi. Look at that. I will have something... crunchy and raw. So we've got radishes and cucumber here. I always will have boiled eggs because who doesn't love the smell of a boiled egg?
Yeah.
Something seasonal. So we've got tomatoes here. And then what have you sprinkled on top? Is this one of our...
It looks like some za'atar or something, is it?
Is this the ducker?
It's not the ducker, but it could be. I just didn't want to open it because I wanted you to take it home with you.
Kind. So I love za'atar.
I wanted to make courgette for you just because it's...
I'm so chuffed.
Nice.
Thank you.
My wife made these plates as well, so I brought them specially. Clever woman.
Does her name begin with R?
It's actually an H. She needs to finesse that, doesn't she?
What's her name then?
Harriet.
Harriet
Slaughter.
Harriet Slaughter and Ben Benton.
Incredibly talented.
Is this her thing? Is this what she does?
She used to. That's now she's a beautiful colour consultant. If anyone needs to book a colour consultancy,
please get in contact.
What, home?
For our fashion, for our...
No, for that, your home. If you're not happy with the colours.
Watch out for that.
Oh, yeah.
I think we should go location.
Where have you got to, Freddie?
What have you drizzled on here? Why does that olive oil look so lovely?
No, there's like a hot honey on it.
Dr. Stinks?
And like an there's Dr. Stinks.
Yeah, shout out Dr. Stinks.
It's like an avocado...
Crema.
Some marinade lemony courgettes.
Is it crema or crema?
I say crema.
Hang on. Marinated...
So lemony, like marinated courgettes.
Stunning.
And then some sesame seeds because I had
this
them.
This is a beautiful sort of... This summary plate of joy.
I felt it was quite appropriate.
The colours in here, you know.
The colours.
I know what's quite often always says, Tim Spector, your enemy, always says that you need to have like 30 different colours in your plate.
Guys, Tim Spector's got a cookbook out. You should have him.
Does he?
Yeah. Do you know what? Can I be a little bit braggy for 1 second?
Please.
Just to balance out me and Ben talking ourselves down.
Would you throw that down there, Freddie?
And actually, I'm not being braggy. I think the subject, I'm bragging about the subject.
Yeah.
It being, how do we make delicious food that's healthy more enticing in life, so that we don't need... I think the most important thing is if we want to eat ultra processed foods, go for it, it's your life. But if you're eating them and relying on them because you feel like you don't know how to cook healthy food from scratch, or you don't understand the difference between, or you just don't think you've got access, that's something that I think that me and all the rest of the food world can help you out with. Otherwise, why should we bother just banging on about ourselves and posting pictures of ourselves eating at restaurants? It's pointless. So I sent out the early proofs of my book, cast the net out far and wide. And I don't mean I sent it to everyone. I sent it to people who I really admire and who I think will care back. And literally every single person wrote back to me. I had a really short deadline. It was like, here's my really messy proofs, as you know, literally up until it goes to print, your book's being refined. Would you please read it? And if you like what you see. And I had like 35 people, gastroenterologists, immunologists, psychiatrists, child nutritionists, Tim Spector, Yotam Ottolenghi, he's on my book, Tom Kerridge, like the good and the bad, no, the good and the great,
good and the great.
Shit, sorry, Tom Kerridge.
The
good and the great of food and health.
Shouting you out,
just endorsing your message.
I think not me shouting out, the message that we've absolutely got to. GPs, everyone, like we know that we're not going to get food advice from our GPs because they've got... They say with you've got 10 minutes, you've actually got 6 minutes to tell them what's wrong with you and for them to make an action plan.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that doctors get 1 hour lecture on nutrition in their 7 years of medical training, and we also know that we should eat more fruit and veg and a bit less.
It's time to change the game. The revolution is here.
Oh, it's annoying that we've got a talk out and we can't just eat.
That food's bang. No, but
delicious.
What we need to do is we're going to ask you your favorite restaurant in London, and then we're going to move on to your deli items because George needs to get down to Devon.
This is fantastic.
What is your favorite restaurant in London?
It's called Jinkichi, and it's Japanese. It's been there for about 30 years, and it's just by Hampstead Tube.
Nice.
And it is amazing. And it's got a traditional grill in one section, and it's got the sushi bar in the other. And I feel like whenever I want to go out to eat, there's something that I want to eat. So my order is the seaweed salad with tahini.
Yes.
It is the agadashi tofu. I love a bit of prawn tempura. the grilled mackerel. Mm. They have the chicken skin. It's off menu, but if you get that early, you can have the grilled chicken skin on a skewer. The Nasu miso aubergine.
Love it.
And then I go and get an ice cream down the road, which is also on the other side of the tube.
That's
and
a
then
great
go home.
Combination. Ben's obsessed with one-twos.
I love one-two. What's the ice cream place called?
Venci. I mean, it's a chain.
I know.
But it's delicious.
It's fine. Actually, quite good ice cream.
Yeah. Really good.
Yeah, I agree.
And I completely
forgot. I discounted it because it is a chain.
This food is delicious, Ben. I should say, this is the nicest plate. Not, I mean, all your food is delicious, but it's nice and light. It's making me feel great.
Absolutely
because I read your
stunning.
Book and I just felt, I feel you, vital you, on the back of
did
it.
Did you, were you inspired by, that one's off my, I've got something like this on my
You've
Instagram.
You've got that on your Instagram.
Which had 7,000 likes. And again,
that's
like,
a lot of likes.
I find that really interesting because I don't get anything like that. Right? I mean, loads of people I know will get 7,000 likes. But I noticed that because it said 5 minute courgette, mozzarella, pasta. Mm. I can see you spent more than 5 minutes on this because you've added all sorts of amazing tricks.
I made
tips.
It in the floor kitchen.
But it goes to show that the people want the quick stuff.
People want
stuff.
Quick, tasty stuff.
Can I say one more restaurant that I love because I know that everyone might not go all the way to Hampstead? Is I love the Devonshire Arms.
Yeah.
Mm. I've been there about 4 times and I think that it's got an amazing vibe. I go there with my baby and I think that anyone that doesn't look stressed out when you walk in with your baby and makes you feel welcome.
It's a good place.
It's a good
place.
Place
to be. Yeah. We got to shout it out. Deli dish, what are you going to make with these things?
The thing I'm most excited about trying is the Bengali Kasundi spice pickle because I I've talked about ginger quite a bit. I love ginger. I feel like it's a real key ingredient. If I were to die, I feel like ginger would be somewhere on my tombstone. And I feel like this is just going to be a jar where one tiny trickle is going to elevate your cooking.
100%.
So I feel like I want to grill something and then have some rice or maybe like a yogurt flatbread and then drizzle this on top with a slaw and keep it as simple as that. Yeah, something grilled, this Kasundi spice pickle and put it on top.
Yeah, for that.
Delicious.
As I said, I'm going away tomorrow, so I absolutely am excited to have your crackers.
Yeah.
And I think I've got some feta cheese in the fridge. I might whip that up because I've got a bit of yogurt. So I might literally smash up in a jar feta and the yogurt and then add the ducker.
Delish.
Sorry. Emotional. When people have to eat and then burp.
Yeah. The whole time.
See, this is not good for our gut health talking and eating.
No.
Is that
but this
right?
is real life. Yeah.
So okay, because you're taking an air. We just eat. But for the guests, it's been.
And the pinto beans, well, very kindly, look, they've provided a spice mix with it. What's in the spice mix?
Yeah, you've got a naughty little spice mix.
Oh, look, smoked paprika, my fave. And bay leaf, also spoken about today. It's like you read my mind. Yeah. And the chilies de arbol. And it contains peanuts. Where's the peanuts then?
Oh.
How interesting.
In your little sachet.
The peanuts are in my sachet. I guess to add lovely richness and creaminess.
Well,
do you know what I'll probably do with those? As you know, I love batch cooking and...
I'm with you.
And also, if you're going to soak your own beans and cook them, you're going to do all of them.
Yeah.
And if this is 250 grams of dried beans, so you're probably going to get like 2 kilos of cooked. I would cook them all up. I would then split it up and I would freeze it in batches. And do you know what I would most look forward to doing? I'd try and do like a kind of refried black bean vibe with the pinto beans. And I would crack some eggs like shakshuka style in there. Then I'd maybe steal your avocado crema or just chop some avocado on top and have it as a brunch dish.
Amazing.
Absolutely delicious.
That's what I would do.
Melissa Hemsley, you've been a wonderful guest. All our listeners can get hold of your book. All they have to do is click the link in the bio. I mean, it's as easy as that. It doesn't come easier. We're going to finish off with a quick first thing which comes in your head. What is your go-to 3-course meal? Starter, main, pud.
I'd like it to be by the sea.
Yeah.
I know you didn't ask me that. The location would be by the sea.
It's essential.
I'd like some seafood and some garlicky, some aioli to begin.
Yep.
Some really lovely fresh bread. Then I would like a pie, but not a super heavy one.
Mm-hmm.
Like an amazing pastry and a lovely pie. I would also like some green beans. I would like a crispy salad.
Mm-hmm.
Crispy fresh salad. Thing. And then for pudding, I would like 2 puddings. I'd like a lemon tart or something like refreshing.
Yeah.
And then I would like something dirty and chocolatey.
That sounds incredible.
Don't forget the Bellini at the beginning.
I'll never forget that. Melissa Hemsey, you've been wonderful, guys. Please get a hold of her incredible new book. All you got to do is click the link in the bio. Melissa, we wish you the best of luck on your holiday. Have the greatest time. And also with the book. And we'll see you very soon for Bellini and many other things. Guys, please leave us a comment. We are going to ask you, what song do you want us to play you out with?
Something Phil Collins-y.
Okay.
And Bouncy.
Something Bouncy by Phil Collins. Coming up.